Today is exciting because we're going to continue the interview with Adam Field, an evangelist with Co-Mission. I'm telling you, powerful things are happening because he loves Jesus and he wants everybody to know about him. Let's go there now.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
I want to ask you this last part about unity is, you know, Solomon says, I've looked through the lattice work and I've seen things that are observed. And it's almost like, you know, God gives a person a call and he or she hears legitimately that call. Mm. And they begin to move in that call, yet their very own words are coming against their very own call. For unity, for example, say if God's calling the church to unify. And of course, it's Christ-centered unity, not hot dog or hamburger.
Right.
Unity, but yet, the enemy's going to attack that person in regards to being divided from the very thing they need to unite with.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I've noticed, like, oh my goodness, well, how, you know, it could be that's in the air. You know, some of the things that's been seen about our region, for example, is there was an African minister who was praying in intercession. And God showed him America, and he showed him the Southeast United States, and showed him the panhandle of Florida. And, of course, we have a history here of First Nation people being here, and then the indigenous people were treated, you know, wrongly, and different things that have happened. Geronimo was actually here. I don't know if you know about Geronimo. He was kept here at Fort Pickens. And so what he saw was all of a sudden the church would get active and begin moving around and activity, and then Indian chief would take this pipe, smoke from a pipe, and he'd blow the smoke over the panhandle and everybody to go back to sleep again. And one of the things that we did historically was, you know, we walked out repentance for what happened to the First Nation people in this particular area. But there seems to be, you know, this unity seems to be so easy, but yet to be so difficult.
Yeah.
You know, we saw unity in for 10 years with the Malachi Mandate. We had all seven mountains of culture involved in it. We had unity that somebody in their 70s said they'd never seen in decades of ministry. We saw businesses, government, police, military, pastors, community. But that was outside of what we know as a church building.
Yeah.
It was in the wilderness. It was, you know, steering committees and people were just moving. But when they went back into the buildings, and they met God, the glory of God, they were weeping, the power of God's there. They had this encounter with God. But when they went back in the buildings, Adam, and we saw them like maybe 90 days later, 6 months later, they're walking the streets, they're like zombies. They were like just, hello, hey, how are you doing? Like, are you the same person that just encountered God? What do you think that is? It's like, because it was happening outside the building, but once it went back in the building, it just stopped.
I think of David, like when he was king, and David was the type of king where he didn't delegate his battles out. He was the type of guy that was actually in the front line swinging swords.
Yeah.
And when he would send his infantry in, he was off his horse in with the infantry going after it. His type of leadership was very different than the type of leadership that preceded him.
Right.
And that type of leadership is so crucial if we want to really win over for long longevity. If we want to win over and have a consistent move of God, the leadership really have to live this out. You can't talk about it and preach on it if you yourself aren't doing it. It's like Timothy sitting down with his church in Ephesus and saying, well, we must all be doing the Great Commission.
Right.
And then Timothy's calling up Paul and going, no one wants to do the Great Commission. And then Paul says, hey, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist.
Right.
Because you can't lead if you're not doing it yourself. It's kind of like, do as I say, but not as I do.
Right.
So the leadership-wise, if the leader just expects it to continue on without their responsibility of managing well what is going on so that it can be fueled and it can be consistent. And I feel like David, when he pulled back from the battle and he started living in the palace and eating the delicacies of what it meant to be a king, I think that's when he opened the door to that, what you're saying, just he lost his edge in that season, he lost his passion in that season, but God restored him. And you know what? If you've lost your edge, if you've lost your passion, or you're going back to the way it used to be and kind of wishing that those days would come back, it can come back.
Right.
It's just a matter of repenting like David did, and let's get back out again, and let's keep on advancing the kingdom and keep on advancing the perimeters of the church. We don't have to kind of wait it out. I think there's a lot of people that are waiting and waiting and waiting. And the problem with waiting now is that as we're waiting and we're praying, if we're not hearing the voice of God to action, then we have to ask, who are we praying to and who are we worshiping? Because Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. So if we're waiting and we're hearing from God, it's going to lead to action. That's why the book of Acts is well titled. It's not the book of prayer. It's not the book of, come together and sing songs and get goosebumps. And we come together, yes. We do pray, yes, but it's also for an action. It's to get out and let's do something about what's going on in our generation. So I think that what we're about to see will be that unity. But like you said, it's going to be connected to action. And it's going to be connected to let's do something about our faith in our community. And I'm really excited about that.
Well, Russell Moyer is going to be here next week, and he's talking. He's a prophetic man.
Wow.
He's a prophet.
Wow.
But he's talking about that unity cannot happen outside of the authority. The authority that God's established in the church has to buy into what God wants to do. They have to. You can never go around the established authority to bring unity. I mean, that's what he's saying in the context of that. Which,
that's good.
It's good. But you're thinking like, oh, dear Lord, touch the authority. You know, they have a heart. Because sometimes I think, you know, you could be so comfortable in the palace that you miss out on what it's all about. Yeah. And that, you know, I don't know, but I just know by hearing that, I'm thinking like, oh my goodness, and God can do it. Because I know the people are hungry for it. And I know when revival hit in such a way, touching the pastor. I mean, during Brown's revival, you have many pastors that got saved.
Wow.
That they inherited the ministry from their biological fathers, you know, and they just kind of went along, things like that. But when they encountered God, they realized, you know, that I didn't know him, and they got saved. And they were, you know, pastoring during that time. Listen, we're going to be right back after this break. We're going to come right back to the interview with Adam. It's just so encouraging. You're going to be so inspired. Listen, comment below. Share your thoughts. What are your thoughts about what's being shared on the program today with Adam, with Co-Mission, what we're talking about, the particular topic? We love hearing from you. Comment below. We'll see you after the break.
We'll be right back. Two armies faced off on a piece of farmland that's come to be known simply as Gettysburg.
The Battle of Gettysburg, fought in a war that began on April 12, 1861, ending in the spring of 1865, after Robert E. Lee surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox.
But did you know, in 1862, the Confederate Bible Society in Augusta, Georgia, printed the first edition of a small Bible to fit into a soldier's pocket, taking the Bible with him into battle.
The demand becoming so great, the Confederate Bible Society attempted to import Bibles from Great Britain, with blockade runners challenging the Union soldiers attempting to prevent the smuggling of Bibles to the South.
And did you know, Museum of the Bible collections hold a first edition copy of the Soldier's Bible, a significant artifact in the history and impact of the Bible in America.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight, 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Talked to her and she said, I just left Seattle. And she said, I was in a meeting in Seattle, Pastor. She said, I know I never met you, but I've been going here a long time. I said, yeah, I know that. She said, I just left a meeting in Seattle. And she said, Dr. Cho was the speaker. And she said, I heard him say in Seattle that the Lord told him, he said, I'm about to pour out my spirit in America. And he said, well, Lord, I said, are you through with America? Are you through with America? It looks like that, you know, everything just going haywire. Are you through with America? And God said, oh, no. He said, I'm not through with America. He said, I'm about to pour out my spirit there. He said, as a matter of fact, get your atlas out of your attaché case. And he got his atlas out, opened it up, and the Lord said, point. And it landed right on the dot of Pensacola. And the Lord spoke to Cho and said, I'm going to pour out my spirit first here like a match head. It'll burn like a match head, bright, and it'll be powerful. And he said, then it will go over to the Mississippi River, and it'll back up across Florida again, come down into the peninsula of Florida, go up the east coast down through the west and the southwest and shoot out to the northwest. And before my coming, all of America will be ablaze with the glory of God.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I got a question for you for our audience. If somebody wants to get a hold of you and contact you, you know, your ministry's Co-Mission Ministry. Why is it called Co-Mission?
Well, we actually
spelled differently.
Yeah, we dropped the M because an evangelist has to be working cooperatively with the local church, like you said. So we want to co-mission with the local church. As an evangelist, we don't go to any city or state that there's not already a local church that we can connect with, because an evangelist is not really like a missionary in a sense that they pioneer. They work with the existing church, kind of like what Jesus said to Peter, strengthen what remains. Mm. And our goal is to strengthen what remains within the local church as an evangelist. And we want to co-mission with that local church. And our goal would be to come alongside a local church. And if they don't have volunteers right now actively going to the prison ministry or actively going to the rescue mission or actively going to share the gospel where God could open the door for them to share it, as an evangelist, we want to breed that call and that mandate and raise them up and give a hand up any way we can. Right. So by the time we leave that church, that pastor's got all the people in place to see an evangelistic mission take place in the local church. We want to strengthen the pastor. We want to uphold the pastor. We want to come alongside the pastor. We know that the pastor can't do everything, and that's what we expect him to do is everything. But if we can come alongside him and see those evangelists within the church raised up, and our goal is to have 100% of the church doing the work of an evangelist, because that really, at the end of the day, is our primary calling while we're here. Discipleship is great, but if we're not discipling with intentional evangelism attached, then we're just educating them. And the spiritual obesity in our local church is so great that if it was turned to matter, we'd fall down into the pit of hell. We've got to get the spiritual obesity to a point where we get them on the treadmill and we start working out our salvation with fear and trembling. I believe the more the church work out, the stronger our faith will get. And how do we work out? We don't just work out reading the Bible. We don't just work out praying. The greatest way to work out is evangelizing, sharing our faith. When iron sharpens iron, it deepens our faith. It strengthens our, what we would think would sway us or deviate us by having people actually attack or challenge us. Challenge makes our faith stronger. Challenge makes our faith deeper. So evangelistic component is so important, and that we know with the Great Commission. And as an evangelist, we want to raise up the indigenous. We don't want to really hail the evangelists coming in as
Talk about indigenous, what that means, our audience.
The local the local church member.
So the people who's right there in that community.
Right there in that community. We could easily just do kind of like the Billy Graham approach and have everyone come in and look to the evangelist. But really, that is not a biblical evangelist. That's a guest speaker or a great preacher or something like that. But if you want to be functioning under the job description of the fivefold ministry, an evangelist should be breeding evangelists, should be raising evangelists, should be equipping evangelists.
Because the fivefold ministry talks about to train God's people up to do the work.
So if we can look behind us and see wow, we don't need to go back to Baltimore. There's 10 of us doing it there already. Right. Let's go on to the next city and breathe into the church an evangelistic passion. They're doing it, and then we move on to the next city and we do it again. But we have to always co-mission with the local church. And we're very accessible on Facebook, on Instagram, on our website, through email.
We'll put that on the screen. You probably see that right now on your screen, how to be able to contact you. Okay.
Yeah, and we're always looking for new contacts, new churches to work with. We're a new ministry. We're very young. We're not as connected as we would like to be. So we're always looking for that.
I like the fact that you have put your focus on America.
It is a U.S.
America because of, you know, we need ministry in America. And so many people are in the mission field coming back and gathering finance for their ministry, but they're not ministering to America. And America's, you know, one generation away from being totally lost, if not less than that.
We in Ireland, growing up, we had a lot of teams that came from the United States to Ireland to do missions work. And I got to work personally with those teams. Some of those teams even came out of Gulf Breeze here in Florida.
Yeah, name
Florida.
Some of their names.
You got Coastline Calvary Chapel came over there in Gulf Breeze. We had a lot of Assembly of God churches all across the country that came to Ireland. But when you actually
find David Apple
out,
and David Apple. One
David Apple and from, was there.
Okay.
David Apple with Apple Market.
Yeah, Apple Market.
And those guys. Mm-hmm. They all came over. John Spencer was there. But not only from that, that was just, I think they only came once or twice, but the Assembly of God would bring 10 to 15 teams a year that would come over to Ireland. Mm-hmm. But when you actually sit down with these teams and you hear that they're not doing anything in their local community, and they were coming to Ireland, it really cheapened their mission work to Ireland. It was like, we're kind of like that exotic animal that you want to come and check out and do your faith here, and it's safe to do it. And then you go back and you live no different like how we live. We're just busy with life.
Or you're just looking for a place that you want to go to Ireland and see Ireland. You don't care about the soul of Ireland.
You really do need to ask that question on a lot of missions. And you know, some of the missionaries that end up overseas sometimes are just the guys that couldn't make it in the American church.
Yeah.
And they had no real position here, so they said, well, the next best thing is missions. Let's just go do missions.
Sorry about
that. And I just don't think you should go. You should never go and do anything spiritually if God hasn't told you to do it. Like, if you do anything without God telling you to do it, because it seems to be, well, that's a good idea. Well, there seems to be a way to a man that's good, but in the end, it's destruction.
Listen, we're going to be right back after this break. We're going to come right back to the interview with Adam. It's just so encouraging. You're going to be so inspired. Listen, comment below. Share your thoughts. What are your thoughts about what's being shared on the program today with Adam, with Co-Mission, what we're talking about, the particular topic? We love hearing from you. Comment below. We'll see you after the break.
We'll be right back.
Once, in a faraway land, there was a child who was hurting and in need. But one day, that child was given a very special gift in a shoebox. Inside were wonderful things, incredible toys he had never seen before. And something else amazing happened. Through that simple gift, the child heard the gospel and became a disciple of Jesus. And everywhere the child went, he shared his faith with others. So just like that, his entire world was transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. And this is how millions of children discover good news and great joy through Operation Christmas Child.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
The world's waiting for a hope. They're waiting for another conversation that only you and your assignment can provide. Daniel was just faithful to his assignment, and he kept getting called before the kings. They remembered him from generation to generation and said, wait, there's one man who can solve this problem. And I believe that God's releasing people into their assignment. And in their assignment, there's going to be people who hear the whisper of their name, and you're going to find yourself called into places. Maybe you're just a barista, and all of a sudden the head of the whole coffee company comes in and goes, I need to talk to you. I've heard some things that you've done here. And you're like, am I in trouble? No, it's actually the opposite. We're in trouble. We need you right now. I'm hearing these scenarios all over the world right now where Christians are being placed to solve problems and to cure confusion. And it's not just in one genre or area. The beautiful thing about the kingdom is it works in all aspects of life. It's not just like the easy parts of life. It's the hard parts of life. That's when Christianity shines. That's when we're a light, is the hard parts of life. There's two options, and all of a sudden we bring another option. There's no answers. Everything's exhausted, and all of a sudden we show up, and it's like, because we showed up, like when Jesus showed up, another option's presented, and people are like, how is God this good?
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
True. I mean, we have a calling of God is always a burden that comes from God. It's not generated out of a need. If we're driven by needs,
right,
we're going to be spinning our wheels for a long time.
Right.
But when we're driven by a call of God, it doesn't matter the results.
Yeah.
We're anchoring to the Lord and what He's called us to do.
And I think you have to do it. It's like shut up in your bones.
It's
something you know, and you need to be related and connected. But you know, having someone in your life, but you just got to do it. It's not a mystery to you. You need maybe some wisdom on how to do it.
Yeah, you need wisdom. But yeah. If missions is not a lifestyle, it's just something you do once a year or when you go overseas to do your missions work, but you have no burden for the lost at Walmart, or you can walk in out of the gas station and have no real conviction of the Holy Spirit. You're not being grieved by the state of our own society here. You got to ask yourself, what spirit are you working in? And these are real challenging questions, but you have to examine where you're at in the faith right now. Has Christianity just become an occupation or a job, or does He have your heart? Because if He has your heart, then you'll be open to His leading. There's times when I've come off of preaching in a church or preaching in an evangelistic outreach, and I'm spent. I am spent by the time I'm done.
Right.
There's a lot of prayer and work, and when I preach, I give every bit that I've got to it. I want to do the best I can unto the Lord. And so you're spent, and then here you are, you're putting gas in your car, and the Holy Spirit prompts you and convicts you for the young man that's putting gas in the pickup truck across the way, and you're troubled by it. And I can tell you honestly, there are multiple times that I've resisted the conviction of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel with people outside of the microphone, outside of the pulpit, and I've repented for that. But the times that I have been pliable and willing to the Holy Spirit to follow through on it, I've seen tremendous results.
Right.
Some of the results are better than that of preaching in a pulpit to crowds of people. So I just really want to encourage you that if there's anything you hear that's good for me, it's that it's really about a personal relationship with Jesus and following His leading. It may not necessarily look like what everyone else would want it to look like, or maybe even what you want it to look like, but as long as you're doing what He's called you to do, you're the most successful preacher. I believe the most successful evangelist is the man that just obeys the Lord. It's not about the fruit. It's not about the size. It's not about the crowds. If we get caught up with that, then corporate America has infiltrated our measures of success.
Right.
And corporate America cannot measure success. Success in the sight of God is obedience. That's why Samuel said to Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Right.
To obey God, do what God's called you to do, whether there's crowds or whether it's just one person. But as long as you're doing what God's called you to do, that is worth its weight in heaven.
That reminds me of Steve Hill, right in the middle of the Brownsville revival. Here he's ministering every single night, people all day long. And we take pictures. Back then, he would take pictures and get them developed back then. And so he'd take the pictures from revival, he'd drop them off at the photo place, he'd go by and pick them back up, and he'd go back to service. You know, he's sending them out or whatever. And then all of a sudden, one day, after taking these pictures again and again and again, he asked where the lady was that he was giving the pictures to. And said, oh, she passed. She had cancer. And he was just shattered.
Yeah.
Because he didn't. It just didn't cross his mind to minister to the woman who was developing the pictures of the move of God. Now he's reaching, you know, obviously, you know, thousands are being reached around the world, Dovetail, everything, we're all over the place. But the fact that the everyday encounters we have with people, that we just miss it. And I think about, it's been the most amazing thing to watch the church have this awesome seemingly encounter inside of a building. Jesus, thank you, you know. All these, whoa, woo, you're doing different things. Then they walk out of the building. And it reminds me of when Jesus said there was these two, this man, you know, that was there beating his chest. And he says, I'm not even worthy. And then the religious man says, well, thank God I'm not like him. And it says, Jesus said, the one down here that's acknowledging who he is. But I see a lot of the mindset is like, it's almost like it's, you know, Steve Kolaszewski's with me in ministry says, the scripture says that the world is blaspheming the name of God because of you. You know, it's something of that nature. Like scripture is, they talk bad about God because of the people of God, what we're, how we're acting and what we're doing.
You're right.
And it's, yeah, it's like.
I've been asking the Holy Spirit lately, don't take your grief from me. Like, grieve me for what grieves you.
Yeah.
Like, it is grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve me over souls. You know, grieve me in my place of prayer. Holy Spirit, grieve me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Let me follow what you're calling me to do. Let me follow after what you want me to do. And don't let me touch the glory. And don't let me be a part of that. And you're right. It's the Holy Spirit wants to lead us as Christ was led. Christ had time for the one-on-one. Actually, the Gospels have more accounts of one-on-one interactions with Jesus and somebody than it does of Jesus and a crowd. There's only actually a few times recorded that Jesus is standing before crowds, but most of his time was with just a couple of people, just
and
a few.
Children.
Yeah, even welcoming the kids. So just to let you know that if you want to be successful as a believer, you want to be successful in ministry, it's not really about the results. We can't be result-driven only. I mean, I understand there's definitely weights and gauges and measures, but at the end of the day, what makes us successful is, did we do what God told us to do? And if we did, even if it meant going to a cross, even if it meant looking up at an axe head coming down on us, even if it led to persecution and martyrdom, so be it. Still will I praise the Lord. Still will I honor his name. Still is he worthy. And may the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his sufferings. The Lamb's blood was not spilt in vain.
Right.
And come what may we all just follow after the leading of the Lord.
Hey, I hate to interrupt this interview, but guess what? We're going to continue the interview with Adam Fields tomorrow. Make sure you join us on our next program. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just pray right now, inspiration, encouragement over those that are watching and listening right now, Father God, that you would touch them right now in a special way, Father God. Stir their hearts, God, for what's being shared in this program by your Spirit. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. And I'll see you in the VFNKB community. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.